Last time we had cosplay drag queen Fox E. Kim on the podcast, we had such a fun time talking about drugs, we had to have her back on to talk more on the subject. From flaca to crocodile to carfentanil, what are they, why would you take them, and how could they kill you?
The Oscar nominations are in, and while they aren't as white as last year, they're still pretty white overall. But at least one gay-themed movie made it into the Best Picture category.
Plus, cuddling is the popular new drug with young folks.
Young people in Britain are doing more drugs than ever.
And is Brexit doomed? Britain's Supreme Court rules the UK Parliament must vote before leaving the European Union. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. The time has come for you to show how fierce and fabulous you are, hunty.
Check out our t-shirts inspired by many great moments in drag in our fashion boutique, feastoffun.com/store.
Drugs! I got a drug problem! I don't have any!
Well, and you can't import any from Canada either. They squashed that. Even the Democrats voted against that.
And a recent study of British youth conducted a couple of years ago revealed that they do more drugs, new drugs and illegal drugs, than any other young people all around the world. They like to get party, honey. Our last show that we did on drugs with Chicago drag queen Foxy Kim was really, really popular. And once again, Chicago drag queen Foxy Kim, a cunning linguist, a linguistics instructor to non-linguistics folks. She teaches people English as a second language. She is back to talk about drugs because she hangs out a lot at clubs.
Right. Yeah. I just hang out at clubs around drugs. Yeah.
Welcome back, Hi. Foxy Kim.
Thanks.
What you taking right now?
Right. Are you high right now?
No, I'm not.
I promise.
We are completely stone cold sober. And that's why I say, we got a drug problem. We ain't got any.
I've had some caffeine. I had my coffee today.
Yeah, caffeine is a drug.
I like my coffee. And I'm very addicted to certain corporate coffee franchises that shall go unnamed here.
It's hard to get you to drink any other coffee sometimes.
Yeah, well, I just like the way it tastes. Mm-hmm. Is that so wrong?
No, I mean... I went to a coffee con a while ago, and they don't like the Green Giant, but, you know, it's fine.
Coffee con?
Yeah, it was cool. I was out in Wheaton.
What, is it like an expo for coffee?
Yeah,
it
was like an expo for coffee. Coffee and all the different demonstrations on coffee, and the different, like, brewing methods, pour over, Chemex, Aeropress.
I'm a pour over. I love the clover, though. That clover thing is really great.
It's a vacuum thing?
It's like a French press, but it's a vacuum kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you have to go to the corporate coffee giant to get that.
Yeah.
So last time we were talking, we sort of covered the bases on, you know, acid, marijuana, cocaine, meth.
Molly.
Adderall.
Shout out to Adderall.
Yeah. The favorite drug of college students. What is the drug that college students are taking so they can study better for their tests?
That's Adderall.
That's Adderall. Adderall.
And how does that exactly
work? It
gets
you horny too, doesn't it?
It makes me horny. Yeah.
But it makes a lot of other people horny too, right? Because it's kind of like, it's a meth-like quality to it,
yes,
right?
Yes, so back to basic sodium amphetamine versus methamphetamine. it makes you...
Salt or pepper.
Yeah. So what Adderall does is it basically makes the reward center of your brain feel really, really good. So when you complete a task, you feel great. And so this is why I think... maybe it makes people horny is because like when you're flirting with people and that feels good. And then it's like that uptake, right?
And you're accomplishing.
I'm not a chemist, but I think that's
I'm accomplishing something as I pound you in the.
Well, that's interesting because a lot of those hookup apps sort of, are great distractors in the sense that you're hunting and gathering.
Yeah. Yes. And like if you get a woof or something, that's kind of a reward,
right?
Or somebody tells you, hey, you're hot, Hey, what's up, daddy? That's like a little bit of a reward.
Like, I know that some of our listeners are thirsty girls who may be in a hospital bed with a broken leg, but their right arm still works, and they'll reach for their smartphone, pull it out, and launch Grindr and Scruff and be like... Well, I'm in a hospital bed, and you know, the nurse might be able to give me a blowjob, but...
I mean, that's a really fun Pornhub rabbit hole I like to go down, is how many iPhone, like, fun porn situations can you get in? And there was, like, a Speedo swim shop where people were trying them on and jerking off together, and I was like, this is a weird thing that someone had their iPhone set up for.
But, oh, really? So they had they were selling Speedos at a shop, and they were, like, inviting people come in to try on the Speedos and then jerk off?
Well, it was, like, three guys, yeah, and he would just... jerking off. And
this was like you were chatting with somebody on a hookup app?
This was a Pornhub rabbit hole I fell
into. Oh, I see. Yeah. And they were filming it.
Because a lot of those people that work in those stores get really horny because they're stuck there all day. And it's like, you know, I know lots of people who have slept with people that have come into the store.
I find that if you're horny at your job, it's because you're bored at your job.
Maybe you're just horny.
Maybe
you're just horny.
Yeah, but
maybe you're high. I don't know.
But if you're like busy doing the work that you were there to do at your job, then you're like, you know, maybe you might be horny, but it's like at the same time, you're like, I gotta get this done, you know? And so you don't have time to relax. And as Americans, we really don't give ourselves vacations the 2-day weekend is disappearing. And so a lot of Americans are turning to sort of, you know, robbing themselves a little bit of time back, ability to focus on nothing.
Yeah. It's always like, you know, and anything. It's like, even if you're sitting on the toilet for 10 minutes at work, you're like, I just got paid to take a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Pooping on a dime, as I like to. Yeah.
Well, and so a lot of people, there's all these like apps now that remind you to just take 1 minute to breathe. Mm-hmm. And I've started doing that. And actually I feel that really helps just to calm your mind and sort of, you know, you don't feel so weighed down by the world around you.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Definitely. I use timing apps and stuff to help keep focused, but.
Meditation apps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so today you have a list. You guys put together this great list of all these new drugs that are being served, and some of them really dangerous and really scary and unnerving.
Yeah. Why don't you, the freakiest one is that crocodile, they call it, crocodilla. Yeah.
Crocodile.
And it's, they think that the name comes from, you know, some people have said it's because your skin ends up looking like crocodile skin or something. But dead, also, too, there's the drug's precursor chemical is called alpha-chlorocrocodide. So that's where it kind of comes from, right?
That's probably the right but etymology.
It's, you know, yeah, and it's an opioid-derived, you know, from codeine. So, and so what they do is they take this and they mix it with some other things and they try and make this drug. And the reason why it's so terrible for people is because it has the ability sometimes to, like, burst your blood vessels, or if you inject it into the wrong spots. And so the impurities can cause, like, an abscess. And so that abscess can become infected. And so then basically you can get like gangrene and so you're kind of like rotting from the inside out.
I can't wait to try
that. So you can get like rotting bones,
no, please don't.
Abscesses. And so like what happens is people are going in there and like they're and it's a really difficult withdrawal and they have to give them really hard drugs to get off of it because it's like, you know, from heroin addiction, I think it's like 1 or 2 weeks to get off. This is a month. And some people after they get off too, it's like they're left with like a speech impediment or like a vacant gaze. So that you kind of like, it really messes you up. But you know, could you imagine injecting something and then you're like, oh, your bones are rotting.
Right. I mean, it necrosis, like know? It's awful. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's, I mean, addiction is powerful, right?
So. Well, and they say like 1 million people in the Soviet Union have died.
Yeah, it's a huge issue in Russia.
So it's huge. And it's just kind of, it's one of those things where it's like.
It's another thing we're importing besides our president from Russia.
Yeah. So.
And so that's coming, making its way here to the United States.
Mm-hmm. And so when they make it too, they make it from like a codeine, which is relatively easy to get, you know, and so then they mix it with different solvents like gasoline, paint thinner, lighter fluid, hydrochloric acid, and then, you know, and so all these things are not always cooked completely away, and so when you're injecting this stuff, it can damage your blood vessel, and then the rot sets
tissue
in.
Damage, yeah, it's just,
and then you wind up being photographed by the press, and
I know
CNN does an article about you.
And I wonder, like, too, when they show these pictures, are these actually pictures? Because it's like some of them just look kind of unreal. Because you see this picture of this girl, and she's holding up her arm, and it's like you see like her bones exposed, and you're like,
I mean, I would believe it.
But how is she like? She's posing for a photo like that, you know? It's just,
I mean, she could be taken into a hospital. Like, I mean, she could be so high she doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I think about that, like, when the press photographs a junkie on the street that's, like, disfigured or hurt, like, where's their private right to privacy?
Mm. Well, if you're in public, I mean,
I guess
you're not expecting privacy.
But also, yeah, too, they might take, they also, so, like, you know, these photos might be taken in the USSR, or, I'm sorry, is that even the country anymore?
No,
or
Russia. Why do you keep calling it the Soviet Union? Is that a...
Because I just feel like, you know, it's...
They're behaving like...
It's because I'm afraid of Russia again. Because there was a time, like, I grew up during the, you know, the Cold War, before the wall came down and stuff like that, and so it was a looming threat, and they actually said when I was a teenager in high school, the number one reason that a lot of teenagers said that they were committing suicide... It's because they were afraid of nuclear devastation, you know, because of this Cold War. And so I think I'm being triggered now, because now we have a president who's basically a puppet of Putin.
Trigger warning.
Yeah.
And he has access to nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's like very adamant about using them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think any other, including Putin, leader in the world that has access to nuclear weapons isn't going like, well, is it such a big deal we get into a nuclear war?
Mm-hmm.
So that's unnerving, you know,
that's
and that makes you want to turn to that crocodile or flaca. Mm-hmm. What is this flaca stuff?
So flaca is similar to bath salts. So remember when bath salts were kind of that
rage?
When
that was remember when bath salts were a thing? I missed that.
Did you ever take bath salts?
No. Heroin, meth, and bath salts. Don't do them. Those are like, those are the top.
So bath salts were called baths. Were not actually like, it was not Epsom salts that you, it was just sold commercially as a bath salt in order to overstep legalization, but it's not an Epsom salt that you your mom soaks in it from Walmart.
Well, it's also, soak in Epsom salt.
Yeah, I love Epsom salt. But it's also called gravel, too, because it looks like aquarium gravel. Yeah. But flaca, they say, is like, I was reading this thing from CNN, and it said that it comes from the Spanish word la flaca, which they translate as beautiful women. But I'm sure a lot of people are going to get very angry, because like flaca just means skinny.
Skinny woman, right? Skinny woman,
And in Latin American cultures, calling somebody flaca is not necessarily a compliment.
That's not necessarily good.
Whereas if they call you la gordita, that actually may, which just says, you know, little fat one, that actually may be a compliment. So it's weird because like Latinos have a different sense of body and things you can say about a person.
I don't know. Every time I run into my in-laws, they're always like, estás tan gorda.
No, you're not.
You're,
well, to the women, you know. To me, I'm a man.
As a nice way or no way?
More like, you know, it's like you didn't comb your hair, you know. Like, you're getting fat.
Oh, I don't know. I think a lot of like guys, you know, men like plump women.
I think,
and so for a lot of Latino guys to say something to that is, you know, they're into that. They want that.
I don't know. It's like the circle, the people that I know in San Juan in Puerto Rico, all the men are these like Donald Trump schlumps, you know, and they marry these supermodel, you know, Melania, you know, Melania is gorgeous, you know, and she has this look on her face like, save me, please. You
know? I know.
And a lot of the women like are in this kind of like, you know, troll monster, businessman, and, you know, supermodel wife. And it's not, and some of them are like really in love with each other and are actually really well complimented. But I think part of it is that there's an expectation for women to be really beautiful and the men can just look like anything they want to.
I mean, this is, The Onion had a great article on this where the title was like, father accepts his daughter's mismatched attractiveness relationship or something like that, where the daughter's very beautiful and the man is just kind of average.
That happens a lot, so, you know.
But anyway.
And that's the thing. It's like you're not always attracted to somebody exactly like you, for sure, you know. And so with flaca, though, it's, you know, it's similar to cocaine. So it's that kind of like, I feel really good, you know, look at me. But it can also lead to like violent behavior, hypothermia, because you can get like 105 degree temperature. And then you can also get superhuman strength. And this is like when people say like people are like eating people's faces off.
This happened in Florida. Yeah. Remember with that guy, that kid who took something and he ripped those two people's faces off and he was eating their face and then they shot him to death. And oh my, it was like the scandal.
Mm-hmm.
The
and scandal. That's the thing. And so like you can smoke it, you can inject it, you can snort it. But the thing is, you don't really know. You don't know what the dose is. You don't. It's not regulated.
No.
You don't know how much to take. And so it's very easy to overdose on this. And that's why. And it's very popular in Florida. And that's why you see all this crazy shit happening in Florida, is because that's where it's coming from.
Yeah. And that sort of leads us to fentanyl.
Fentanyl,
which is if your heroin dealer doesn't like you, and you piss them off for some reason, you were late making a payment, mm-hmm. they can put fentanyl in your next dosage of heroin. Mm-hmm. You die. And then the tribe, the word mm-hmm. gets around so, on the grapevine that, man, you know, Johnny's heroin is mm-hmm. so strong, like Foxy Kim died of an overdose.
Well, the thing is with fentanyl, you know, it's strong, but there's actually something that's out on the market now, too, which is even stronger than fentanyl. It's 100 times stronger, and it's called carfentanyl.
Okay.
And that is
a Pokemon evolution.
Carfentanyl.
Carfentanyl.
And that's and they
I collected two of those in a street corner.
Do people still play Pokemon Go?
No.
I do.
Do you do?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing with that?
Mine stopped working or like, something.
I gave up anyway, on
so, so anyway, the carfentanil is like they use this as a animal tranquilizer for mm-hmm. large animals, you right. know, like, you know, horses and elephants and whatnot. And in Canada, they've had 15 deaths from this. And the weird thing about this is like people, it's like you can make it into a powder and even just like a few sniffs of the powder yeah. can give you an overdose. And
wow.
So like people that have gone in, like paramedics that have gone into scenes where people are overdosed from this have also been affected by this. And, you know, if you're into the drug culture, into that drug world, is like you really want to get your hands on some of that like anti-overdose stuff. Naproxen or what is that what it's
yeah,
called? And like the same stuff that you would get for like a heroin dose. Those should be like readily available.
But big clubs. Surprise, Republicans don't mm-hmm. want you to have access
yeah,
to it.
I mean, this is the whole big issue in general, right, mm-hmm. with what's happening with heroin. And you mm-hmm. mentioned this also, like these drug dealers are going out there and they want to make sure business is good. It's not even if they're mad at you. They just want to make sure business mm-hmm. is good.
They
right?
want to get you high.
So they have 100, you know, let's say you have 100 clients, you give one of them fentanyl and the rest of them heroin, and they see that this person ODs and dies. Oh shit, their heroin's
that's the
really
one
good.
I want to buy.
I want this guy. This guy's the best dealer. And so this is the current situation with heroin. Why I think it's terrifying personally. Mm-hmm.
Foxy Kim, is it a problem for heroin dealers to like water down their drugs or any drug dealer? Like, do they? Because I noticed that people yeah. like who buy drugs at nightclubs, they're always like, this cocaine's watered down.
And it's baby aspirin.
You also know yeah. like who the good dealers are, and you know who has good stuff and who has not their cocaine, like mm-hmm. And where it gets around. And then that's just, you know, that's how business goes. And so there, it is known that some people's is cocaine, particularly if we're going to talk about things I know about, is like there are people who have better and there are better supply chains and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
But ultimately you're just enslaving people in Colombia, and you know, the way cocaine okay, is made yes. is like, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So, you watch those documentaries on YouTube.
Yeah. Right? So this goes to something else we've talked about. Right. And so, BBC released a study, right? British youth is like some of the highest users of drugs right now in Europe. And then they interviewed them and they go, well, don't you, they interview these young people and they go, don't you feel bad? You know, what's going on mm-hmm. with, don't you feel bad? Like the cocaine business and all these people dying in the cartels and the way this is made. And the youth's response was basically, well, that's on you, the government, right? You're the ones who made this bad. Mm-hmm. You're the ones who blacklisted this. You're the ones who made it go right. underground on the black market. You're the one who banned it and made mm-hmm. it illegal. And this is the consequence, mm-hmm. right? These cartels are the consequence. This sort mm-hmm. of this sort of practically slave labor is the consequence of you not allowing it to be mm. legal and be regulated and be controlled by the government rather than, you know, banned by the mm-hmm. government.
Well, we watched Narcos on Netflix, and really it was very interesting and a fun show to watch. And there was so much violence, you know, during the 80s and 90s yeah. with these cartels. But from what I understand now, they're making so much money from the cocaine now that they don't even bother warring with each other, because they're just like, it's just not worth it. You are making so much money. I'm making so much money. Who cares?
You still do see some violence.
Like in Mexico, I think.
Yeah, right? In yeah. Mexico, you'll see it. And I mean, this is maybe a little morbid, but you see it a lot on the subreddit Watching People Die. This is a very popular subreddit.
Well, I'm not familiar with the subreddit
this
at all.
This one has a lot of controversy. And most of the deaths...
It's video,
yeah.
Of
people dying. Most of the deaths are beheadings by the cartel or suicide bombings. And so
yikes.
It is still going on. This is a very controversial subreddit. And the people who are in support of the subreddit say, well, it humanizes you to watch death. And this is something that everyone needs to see, because this is a real thing. And it lets you know that there is still violence.
I've seen
in the
enough
world.
Death in my life yeah, to, I mean, to this last is, a lifetime.
And
I
then the people
you
who say no say this just thing yeah. promotes violence and desensitizes us mm-hmm. to it. So, good.
And then part of it is also you're taking, you're trivializing, you're turning someone's pain and suffering and ultimately death into a form of entertainment.
Yeah, that's the people who are against it. And so there's been a little bit of a Reddit war on this subreddit.
Oh, man.
I can't believe, you know, with Reddit, like Condé Nast that runs Reddit, that they just allow, like, for a while they had all these, like, Nazi and just, you know, violent, illegal subreddits, you know. And it's kind of like Reddit is turned into the underbelly of the internet, you know, like 4chan. And I'm just like, why aren't these businesses just shut down these forums?
Well, it's just, you know, they don't want
to. They have shut down some of the forums.
Some of the hate speech ones they have, but they get a lot of flack for that because, like, well, this is freedom of speech. And it's like, well, it's.
And if it's not there, we'll go someplace else.
They'll go someplace else. And then you,
And they're probably, the government's probably tracking who registers and goes to those places and sees that. So you're on a watch list.
What's the thing about it is if I know I can't see something or I'm not supposed to see something and it's right there on Reddit, I'll probably click on it.
It's
out of curiosity. And then you're like, oh, my God, I need eye bleach, which is there's another subreddit for that.
Is there one called eye bleach? I bet there is. Well, there's also a Feast of Fun subreddit, too. So if you want to ever post something there, go right ahead. We like the weird, the freaky, the gay, the queer, anything like that.
Feast of Fun, r/Feast of Fun, you can post things. And we also have a much more active Facebook group. I think I just added you to it.
Yeah, I see it all the time. Thanks for the shout out.
And Vice Quigley Bones, our favorite undocumented.
She's a legal human being, but she's an undocumented worker.
And so I tell her, I was like, girl, you know, you better find yourself. Trump's America is going to fuck with your tips, at least. So, but she's very active. She's one of my favorite people. And she's also Mark's drag sister. So one time we did a show in Austin, Texas. And
oh, yeah. She helped me with my makeup.
And Mark's like, Faust, I need help. And I'm like, ugh.
Well, Faust also hogged the mirror in the bathroom.
Because I need to look good.
Oh, my goodness.
Whereas I don't need as much effort to look pretty, right? So any other drugs we should be on the watch out for? What, anything new and exciting?
Not really. I mean, I'm really hoping this FDA push of MDMA goes through.
What are they? What's the push? What's
so to make it get treated for people with anxiety?
Oh, because they've actually, they're actually looking at that for the MDMA.
Yeah.
The results are pretty good for depression.
Yes.
And a lot of those psychotropic drugs that they did, I think with mushrooms or acid with Timothy Leary. I think maybe the one specific study that they did in the 60s is the people really felt that being part of that study and doing that drug was really beneficial to them. And many of them went on. It was a very spiritual experience for them. It went on to become like reverends and pastors and to work with people on a spiritual level because they really felt like tapped into something.
Isn't that how Mr. Rogers got his start?
No, he was a very good Christian man.
Yeah. He was a reverend.
Yeah, I'm hoping... Yeah.
Listening to Mr. Rogers, like, I'm a big fan of Mr. Rogers. And I love his message and everything.
He may have done some psychotropics back in the day.
But, you look at, documentaries of him, especially early in the days, and it's like, he had this very unique way of talking that was kind of slow. And I was like, you know, I don't know, like, it was his way, his intrinsic way of talking that made him, his words seem so much more powerful than they are. Because most of us are like, hey, kids, you're all right. Everything's all right. You're fine to me. I'm good. All right. Okay, bye. Thanks for watching. You know, and Mr. Rogers is like, you are just perfect the way you are right now. And so that slowing down kind of.
Well, clear speech and child-directed speech. And I mean, we could talk about that all day. But
well, you're a cunning linguist.
Yes, yes.
Because you're getting a doctorate in what?
In linguistics and cognitive science, yeah. So I have my master's in that as well. So
you're edumacated.
Something like that.
I love my queens that have master's degrees and doctorates.
Yeah, we all got master's degrees in something, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, we're all masters here, aren't we?
Yeah, master's.
Yes, girl. I'm a master in tongue popping. I actually got a master's in fine arts. I can teach college. I have taught college.
Yeah, I mean, I do actually.
Carol, one of my most famous students was Carol King's son. And he was like,
Who?
My mom wrote that song so far away.
Oh, Carol King.
Carol King, yeah. What did I say?
I thought you said Carol Kinney or something.
Yeah,
like
I was
that.
Like, I don't know.
Carol Kinney. I took too much flocka before we do.
No. So the Oscar nominations are out. Have you seen many of the films?
Not
what are you excited about?
All of them. So Hidden Figures was amazing.
Mm-hmm. That was nominated for...
The alternate title was Black Women in Space.
No.
It was nominated for a lot. Best Picture.
Yes. I hope it wins.
Couple of space.
So the premise of Hidden Figures mm-hmm. is Octavia Spencer bakes herself a pie
with poop.
And sneaks...
It's about three African-American women that worked on the NASA project. So one of them was an engineer, one was a mathematician, and one was like a management coordinator. Kind of
I haven't seen it,
but I'm going to rush out and definitely see it. But we have like a bunch of sci-fi ones, really, because like Hidden Figures, mm-hmm. Arrival, mm-hmm. and then also Moonlight. So there's three science fiction.
Wait, Moonlight is a science fiction
movie?
Well,
it's, you know, Moon. I
was like, that
joke.
Was a stretch.
Now,
What?
I really loved Moonlight because I really felt like it was a very tense film and it really captured, you know, a young man not being comfortable being gay and that tenseness that he had and how it just kind of stifled him. Because I kind of like related to that because, like, you know, back when I was coming out, I was like, it was really hard to be gay. Now, I think maybe some younger audiences might be like, why didn't he just accept he was gay? Right. And it was just like, you know, things are so different now. But back then, I think it really captured that kind of moment. So it was that tenseness that I really enjoyed.
I would say for the cinematography, mm-hmm. how something is shot, how it's lit, how it's framed. I'm being very generous by saying it's experimental. Mm. And so I think it's actually good that Moonlight got a Best Picture nomination because of the fact that it's such visually different than all the other films in that category.
Well, also too, I think it's also an African-American cast. And so now it's like the Oscars aren't as white as they used to be.
Well, and last year they certainly could, you know, I think a film that should have been in that category was Tangerine. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a huge injustice that they didn't put in
it. They were
into that
decently
category.
Whitewashed.
That's what everyone was
very
talking
bad,
about.
Yeah.
Cause in terms of Moonlight and Tangerine, I think Tangerine's the better film in terms of like, representation of African American culture in pioneering unusual cinematography and experimentation. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, Tangerine is a stronger film than Moonlight. But Moonlight is definitely worthy of that category as well.
And then The Arrival is something I also saw and you saw as well.
I've seen bits and parts of it and talked with linguists about Arrival and some of the maybe problems with Arrival in terms of just linguistics. And
because she kind of disses she's a linguist herself, right?
Explain to the people what the movie is
about.
So
basically, some aliens cop down and they're having a hard time figuring out how to talk to them. And so they've sent other people in, and then they eventually send in Amy Adams because she's a linguist, right? And so she figures out a way to talk to them.
Yes. And so the big problem that linguists sort of have with her character is she doesn't consider herself a scientist. And she says, like, oh, we'll just go leave the science to your father or daddy or like some male figure.
She's talking to her kid, right?
Yeah. And so I'm like, so there's like several problems. One, linguistics is a science. I don't care what anyone says. It is. There's a lot of reasons it would be. And two, like that's a very anti-feminist thing to say, right?
Yeah.
To put yourself down as a woman.
And that is the terrible part of it too. And you know, the thing is like she got snubbed for the Oscars.
She got snubbed too. Yeah.
You know, so...
Isn't Amy Adams like in every movie?
She's in a lot of stuff.
She stumbles inside a alien spaceship and has to deal with, you know, CGI tentacles coming at her. That was the same thing in Superman. Right? That was the same thing.
I guess so in some ways, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, oh, this cavernous, weird spaceship. I got to communicate with them. Only in Superman, she got dick.
Yeah, right, real a Man of Steel dick.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd want that.
But
either.
I think what's going to probably win is going to be because it was nominated in 14 categories as La La Land, because there's nothing the Oscars loves more, Hollywood loves more than movies about the fucking movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just heard, I don't know that I even want to see La La Land.
I'll go see it. It has a lot of charm to it.
I've heard a lot
There's parts of it that are kind of annoying.
Annoying
and
whiteness.
Disappointing.
It's just like, get over yourselves, dudes. Like,
yeah, there is some of that. They have some people of color in the opening segment.
I really do hope Hidden Figures goes far. I hope it does well.
But it's not about movies.
No, but it's about black women in science, which is really cool. So.
And that's never going to win an Academy Award. No,
I'm going to have more faith.
I'd be really surprised.
I'm going to have more faith.
It's been fun to see
Octavia Spencer on the red carpet.
Yeah.
You know, we're all fans of Octavia.
Yes.
Well, we adore
her. And Janelle Monáe. Oh, my gosh.
So, oh, yeah. She was really fantastic in Moonlight. So she didn't get, I don't think she got
I don't think she got anything, yeah.
No. So. The other thing that I'm kind of looking forward to is Meryl Streep, because I really enjoyed Florence Foster Jenkins. And she was nominated for Best Actress in that film. And it was a really fun film to watch. It was just, she just ate it up.
I'm sure.
Yeah, she probably, Meryl Streep in probably one of her best film roles. And Florence Foster Jenkins, there's so much of our sensibility in that movie that I'm a little pissed off that I didn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Meryl Streep will always be my favorite in Doubt, when she was the head nun.
That's a fantastic film.
As someone who went to a Catholic school and just like dealing with all that, like,
there's so much repression and denial, and so, just like
that will always be my favorite role of hers. Yeah.
Why does Meryl Streep get so many good roles? Is it that she's good at picking these roles, and therefore her participation in these films elevate them, or is she just such a highly sought after actor that great films seek her out?
I think that's it. She's a great actress, and so great films seek her out. And when she's in a movie that's not necessarily that good, you kind of forget about it. And so, because everything else is so fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So Florence Foster Jenkins wouldn't be that movie without her, obviously.
I wonder who else could kind of play that role. You know, because I mean, Florence Foster Jenkins, what a character. And so, you know, if you're a woman that's like a strong character actress and you can embody those kind of characters, then you probably would do very well in a film like that, too.
A Dingo Stole My Baby, A Cry in the Dark. She playing a lesbian lover to Cher in Silkwood, right?
And she's in Mamma Mia.
She's had
Devil Wears Prada, which is where like young gay people That's how I feel like my generation knows her is Devil Wears Prada.
I first saw her, I think it was in Kramer versus Kramer. My mother took me to see that film. And it was just kind of like, why are they sending the kid home to live with his mother? She left. The dad was way cooler, you know. And so, but there's not much gayness to the Oscars this year. I haven't really seen anything that really. Yeah. I mean, except for Moonlight. You know, we saw Hail Caesar, and there's a gay subtext in that film that was nominated for production design because Channing Tatum plays an actor who ends up being a pinko, and we all know that what that means. He works with the Russians and also has a little dog and likes to dance with men. Because back in the day, it was like if you were communist, you were also gay.
Right. Well, confounding gays with villains.
Mark, you saw La La Land. What did you think? So La La Land, really quickly, because we should talk about it a little bit, since it's probably likely to win the best picture. It's a great film in some regards. It brings back the classic Hollywood movie musicals magic. Their stars are phenomenal performers, but what bothers me about it is the ending. It seems like it wants, and I don't want to give it away too much, but it feels like it wants to have its cake and eat it too.
Sure. Yeah.
And sort of like it's one
you're
of those
what this could is, have been
right and to compare it is to the final episode of Star Trek Voyager where Janeway dies. They all die, and at the same time, she saves the day, and everybody goes to Earth.
Right. Well, this is, I mean, okay, so Voyager, the reason that, okay, so now you just triggered my nerd.
You know, that's Voyager, right. Because you're a cosplay queen.
And you know Voyager is my favorite of the Star Trek series. I just rewatched DS9, but
yes,
is
that
right? Yes. I think DS9 holds up very well when you watch it as a series. It's hard to watch week to week and hold on to it, but when you watch it as a Netflix,
it's great.
You have
to binge it for it to not drive you crazy. So the problem with Voyager is it gets canceled through that season, and that's why I think they rushed that ending.
Oh, really?
Yes, it got canceled, like, and that's why that ending
It was. They were thinking about going on even further?
Even further.
Because it was already on for 7 episodes.
What's interesting is that ending is rated one of the best series endings, actually. Of any of the Star Trek series. And have you been hearing about the delays with Discovery?
I don't know why it's
I don't think
delayed.
It's going to happen.
I'm very nervous that it's not going to happen. It's and done. I'm getting very mad because I was really excited.
Well, they're trying to put it on that on CBS's
CBS
web series,
Now or
and
Go.
People and no are not to, really, you know, they're no not really going to be into it. So we'll see. And they may do something like have it on there for the first season and the next year ship it off to Netflix where it will gain an audience.
Netflix owns the international rights to it. So internationally, it's being shown on Netflix.
Right.
So that's what I'm hoping. But not in the U.S. It's being shown through this weird CBS go mm-hmm. now kind of app that no one has and no one wants.
Well, because I'm very excited because they're going to have a you know, a gay character who's
right
who studies fungi and
played by the guy, the redhead from Rent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Back to La La Land, though, people are sort of very, very mesmerized by Ryan Gosling's...
I love this mm-hmm. movie.
well, I want to talk about it because a lot yeah. of people are going to be talking okay. about it. We want to yeah. put in yeah. our two cents. Ryan Gosling, you know, as a piano player throughout my life, I've struggled with it not being a sexy instrument to play like the guitar. Mm-hmm. And so I do appreciate the way Ryan Gosling makes piano playing and jazz music sexy mm-hmm. in this movie, which is the sex appeal of his character and the way the musicality of his role is really great because Ryan Gosling isn't a professional piano player. So this is an actor learning how to play a piano like he did all those scenes by himself, you know. They don't usually like if when you watch movies, they have the actor like Liberace with mm-hmm. Who played Liberace was Michael, the guy from Romancing the Stone. But when the actor
Michael Douglas,
I was like, so when Michael Douglas plays Liberace in the HBO mm-hmm. movie, they never really show him a wider shot of Michael Douglas playing the piano as Liberace. But in La La Land, Ryan Gosling is definitely the man behind the keys. And I think that's actually really extraordinary mm-hmm. and, you know, deserving of an Oscar.
Well, what's also interesting about these performances too. And I thought about this for this movie because I didn't actually see Manchester by the Sea, but a local film critic was talking about this in Manchester by the Sea and Ryan Gosling is the women are very emotional. They have this huge dynamic range of like the what's going on in the film. Like they're crying, they're laughing, they're doing this kind of thing. But the men are all very kind of like stoic and not much range mm-hmm. of emotion. And it's kind of interesting that these women and these great films that people really love are allowed to show all this emotion, but the guys have to be more reserved and held back. And that's, you know, and that's how he is in this film.
Ryan Gosling.
And yeah. And they also like Casey Affleck and Manchester by the Sea is the same kind of situation, whereas they're just not as expressive, but it works.
Well, and I think it's interesting when Ryan Gosling gets into his full on showbiz nerd mode mm-hmm. and he's dancing and he's singing and stuff and makes yeah. it the fact that Ryan mm-hmm. Gosling can make it look like butch and straight is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, you don't come off like a Nelly.
Yeah, you don't come off as a singing show tunes queen.
Now, people like they have a love. Some people love the film, and other people just they absolutely hate
it. The internet seems very polarized by it right now, and I don't know that I want to see it.
So you should see it so you can make up for yourself. Okay. You know, so you can decide mm-hmm. whether you like it.
It's entertaining. It's an entertaining film. Mm-hmm. You're definitely it's worth the money to see it. I don't think personally. I felt there was a lot of times I'm like, oh. Girl, mm-hmm. please. I felt like Michelle Obama, mm-hmm. the right. Trump inauguration, mm-hmm. going,
And it's a different kind of musical, and it kind of, in some ways, it reminded me a little bit of the movie with Catherine Deneuve, The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, where it's kind of yes. like, it's a simpler kind of like, you know, it's not big Hollywood belting kind right. of, you know, or Broadway belting kind of stuff. You know, it's very subdued in a lot of ways.
Umbrellas of Cherbourg, Schomburg? Mm-hmm.
Cherbourg,
not the Chicago
Moulin Rouge and La La Land are three very similar movies. Mm-hmm. Well,
Moulin Rouge had a lot more excitement into yeah. it. I think La La Land was a little much more sublime than that.
But definitely check out Umbrellas, Schomburg.
Cherbourg.
With Catherine Deneuve.
Yeah, a very young Catherine Deneuve.
A very gorgeous young Catherine
Deneuve.
And some
fabulous 60s fashion.
Yeah, it's a very colorful, very fun film for drag queens.
Okay.
It's a great resource and inspiration. Mm. Good news, everyone. It looks like Brexit may not happen after all.
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see about that. See.
The Supreme Court, I guess their Supreme the Court, the British court just said, listen, you're going to need an act of parliament for this to actually go through. Because it's like, we're so involved with the rest of Britain, so you just can't start anything until something happens. And so now it'll be to the will of parliament whether that's happened. And I think the people in many ways have spoken. They voted, but a lot of people were doing it like it was a protest vote.
Right.
And now that they see what the ramifications are, that they don't want to vote. And the weird thing is like a lot of the people that really voted pro for it are the the older people that, like, that statistically, they're going to be dead in 6 years.
Yeah, it's not going to affect them. It was just one of the most...
And the young people that are really want to be part of Europe overwhelmingly voted to remain in Europe.
It's one of the most selfish things I've ever seen.
The Labour Party hopes one possible amendment to the Article 50 bill could be to force the government to return to the European Union if the deal is voted down, rather than leaving without an agreement. If that agreement were to attract wide political support, the two-year exit that ministers hope for could prove difficult to achieve, if not impossible.
I hope.
Girl, take that, Trump.
Right.
Yeah, because part of it is like, you know, Trump's election and the Brexit vote were tied to each
other. They were. Yeah, I think it was. It's no coincidence that those two things happened when they happened.
And so this is part, in some ways, you know, the fact that Trump is such a monster and he's such a breaking the law. He's setting himself up for impeachment from day one. He has his press secretary, Spicer.
Spider-Man.
Spicy.
CNN is finally calling them out on lying. Finally, they're finally saying
we're not going to air your conferences live. We're going to see what's real.
And so they're finally saying, like, here's what Trump, like, today they just released it. Trump says that he had all these millions of votes cast illegally for Hillary and offers zero proof.
Yeah. It doesn't matter with him. He's taken that, you know, page out of the Russian propaganda book. You just say whatever it is the hell you want to say and somebody's going to believe
it. Gaslighting. It's gaslighting 101. You're using words like dissent for the protest. They called them aggressive dissenters rather than political protesters, right? Like, that's how you gaslight somebody, is you call them something negative and you say negative things and you say things without any facts and you shape reality.
Mark, who are you calling for the best picture winner?
Oh, it's going to be La La Land.
We're calling it for La La Land. Okay. What do you guys think of what's going to happen with Brexit? It's going to stay or going to go?
Wait. Hard what do you say. Mean? Say, like,
well, like, is it going to happen?
Is Brexit happening or not? I think Parliament's going to wake up and do something to make it not happen.
Yeah, I think it's not going to happen.
How many days does Trump have left in office? The full 4 years?
Or 67.
67.
I think he's going to make it to 100.
It's like The Price is Right.
Yeah, can't go over.
I vote $1 one day. I think Donald Trump probably, if his popularity continues, he's a record most unpopular person ever to hold
some of his highest
the president's position and entering the presidency after an election where he won.
Right.
Remember, he did win. Mm-hmm. And now he's saying that he would have had the popular vote if voter fraud did not take place.
Mm-hmm.
That
3 million.
3 million votes would not have taken place.
Okay.
And even other Republicans are like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. This is madness.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy too. And then, of course, is, you know, there's a controversy around his son Barron. People, you know, there was a SNL writer who made some kind of tweet. I didn't read the tweet.
She got suspended without pay.
Without pay. And so she removed the tweet because she said something. And, like, they're all everybody's angry that she made this tweet, right? And they're all, like, everybody's, like, being all self-righteous about it, leave the kids out of it. But let's remember, it's like, I remember being a kid and Amy Carter was made fun of for being ugly and being unattractive. Reagan took over. They made fun of Ronald Reagan's kids. They called Ronald kids. He was a ballet dancer. They called him a fag. They called him all sorts of stuff. George Bush, Bill Clinton, they made fun of Chelsea.
Oh,
said that she was
Chelsea
a dog.
So badly, yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, I'm not saying these are good things, but this is not unprecedented.
I mean, Bush's daughter's gotten a lot of trouble.
You know, and Bush's daughter's gotten a lot of trouble.
But they got in a lot of trouble on their own, I think,
for partying, so, and people made fun of them for that. And so it's, you know, it's never fun to, it's never a good thing to make fun of these kids' children. But, you know, please don't act like liberals are the only ones that do this kind of thing.
And on Saturday Night Live and during a Wayne's World sketch in 1992, Mike Myers and Dana Carvey made fun of Chelsea Clinton. I think she was 12 years old at the time. Wayne noted that while adolescent hasn't been thus far unkind to the then 12-year-old, Garth responded saying she could turn into a babe in waiting. And it was so outrageous that they edited it out of that skit. Mm-hmm. And anytime they've ever put it back on the air, they air it without that reference.
Right.
Now, of course, Mike Myers and Dana Carvey were very popular people.
Right.
This is a person she's been writing for Saturday Night Live for like 3 years now. And they just, you know, kicked her out, which is really unsettling.
What did she tweet? Exactly.
She said basically that Barron Trump is going to become the first homeschool shooter or basically, and she's made a bad joke and it's stupid. Mm. But at the same time, Barron Trump is not on Twitter. Right. He's not going to see that joke. She deleted the joke, but should a woman lose her job because of making a tacky, bad joke?
This is where, I mean, there was that New York Times, New York Times opinion article. Should a neo-Nazi deserve to get punched in the face? Where that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where he gets punched on live television.
What was his name? The Spencer?
Spencer something.
Like that. He's the alt-right spokesperson. The alt-right guy.
And so it was like, well, that's a good question.
Violence is never the answer, but sometimes it's a hell of a question.
Right. Yeah, that is a very good motto.
Speaking about violence and drugs and all the stuff that we sort of brought up in the show, I'm noticing that a lot of young gay men are sort of responding to the fact that we have a lot of access to sex right now through our hookup apps, and through social media. We can connect with each other really well and get the sex that we want. And so a lot of them are responding to back to something that from Nancy Reagan, like hugs, not drugs.
Yeah.
You call it Team Side?
Team Side. The cuddlers. Yeah, the cuddlers. Team Side. That's like a recent development. I was like, I haven't bought them since September. Like, it's been a while. Team Side. So Side is all like, you're not a top, you're not a bottom. You just like maybe a little oral play, making out and cuddling. And you get off, you do, you don't. That's fine. And I think it's like you said, just law of diminishing returns. When you just keep getting exposed to this stuff, it's just not as exciting anymore.
Well, I don't know how to analyze it objectively because I have an unlimited supply here
of hugs,
of hugs and not drugs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not drugs.
You know, you're
holding out on me.
I have a great dog named Jesse.
Dogs are great for hugs.
He growls much.
He doesn't like hugs. But he likes to be petted.
But I hug him anyways because I'm like, if someone's going to hug my dog and I don't want him biting their face off.
Right.
So I want even though it stresses him out a little bit, at least he's kind of like, you know, getting accustomed to human beings are very affectionate. Mm-hmm. And we have so many strangers coming in here. I want him just to be comfortable with any kind of person getting into his personal space.
But yeah, And my
husband, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think if you look at descriptions on these apps now, it's like no PMP, no party. And then people are getting more clever because the apps are starting to censor a little bit. So they'll say things like, I don't want capital T's in your name and stuff like that to refer to things like Tina, meth, all those things. So
I invited somebody to Mark's 50th birthday party and.
Oh, did you just say his age?
It was, I'm sorry, the Hawaii 5-0 theme party.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah.
And so I invite, because this is a friend of ours for a long time, and I got like a little warning on one of those hookup apps. It was like, we saw that you said party. And I'm like,
yes. What?
It was a birthday party with, you know, Grindr, soda and cake.
Are you talking, what? No.
They Grindr censored me for, I have no idea what, the other day. And they said, we edited your profile because it had a word we don't like. And I have no idea what the word was.
It's called thinking.
I don't know what
it was. Probably
did.
Party.
It was probably
birthday party or birthday something. Cake. Yeah.
Can we then start using the term birthday cake to refer to partying and get really crazy?
Kazoos and all that stuff.
Yeah, birthday you could be like, do you like to party? And you're like, I sure do.
How did you pull that out of nowhere?
It was unexpected.
But yeah, that's like,
the dog got excited.
Excited. He's like, somebody called?
You rang, sir.
Yeah, so PMP actually got into a lot.
Yeah.
This has become now a term you shouldn't even make fun of. PNP, party and play with meth and stuff. There was an event for a gay sports league. I won't say which one. They were writing pretend bios for this like bachelor auction. And one of them, as a joke, wrote likes to PNP in his profile. Oh, and the Facebook community sort of freaked out on him.
Oh,
it was like, it's not funny to make fun of addiction. And this is a huge problem in the gay community. And so.
Well, PNP sounds like you're Donald Trump. You like to get peed on.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
you know, you're a golden showers queen.
This was right. This I mean, I'm not going to. OK, so that was an interesting. I'm not going to shame him if that were to be true, that he's into.
You know, so it's okay to get pissed on, yeah, but not to get high while you're having sex.
Well, it's not okay to make fun of. It's not okay to make fun of anyone for either of those, mm-hmm, right? And so
you don't want
to
fetish.
I think it's okay to make fun of Donald Trump for having a sex worker pee on the bed of a former president.
It's okay to make fun of him being hateful toward people who are like that and being like, also you're a hypocrite,
too,
right?
But listen, we've said this on the podcast too, golden showers and pee play and all that kind of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most basic of fetishes. You know what I mean? It's like it basically is like the bottom rung is like, you know, foot fetish is nothing really. And then peeing, it's not, you know, nothing.
Especially if you're in a shower.
Yeah.
So, you know, since last time we had you on the podcast, had the interesting opportunity to be a personal assistant or personal trainer to Dax. Dax exclamation point, the drag queen who was on RuPaul's Drag Race for the last season.
Yeah, that was a really cool eye-opening
experience. How did she rope you into this?
It was Dax and I are friends. And I...
Is she cool with me saying Dax question mark?
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
I'm sorry, Dax. But I was... When I met Dax, she was not in a good mood.
Oh, okay.
And she turned to me and she demanded that I buy her a drink.
That sounds like she's a cat through and through, and that definitely sounds like something she would do.
And I was like,
do you know who I am? She's like, no.
She did know who I was.
Never will.
I was like, I'm sure she knew who you were.
She knew who I was. Yeah. And I was just like, hey, I'm, you know, congratulations. We're looking forward to, you know, because we interviewed her on the red carpet. Mm-hmm. And I knew, you know, those red carpet interviews, we try to be very like supportive and uplifting. But some of the queens are like, I hated being on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I don't know for her specifically, but I got the vibe that she wasn't too happy about it.
I mean, I'm not going to like speak for her directly necessarily, but if you don't want to do something that they want to make you do, and if you're the kind of person who shuts down easily, that can be very frustrating and stressful. Yeah. And it was very eye-opening being there for that week, being there for DragCon as her assistant, and being there for the finale taping as her assistant and all this stuff, seeing what, as a Drag Race girl, you have to go through and how it can limit your creativity if you let it.
Well, because for Dax, it's like she puts a lot of energy and time and money into turning drag into a full-time career for her.
Right.
And so getting on Drag Race meant, hey, I've made it. I'm going to, this is going to happen for me. And of course, you know, for one reason or another, she felt like she had been played poorly.
Maybe. And, you know, it's hard when they tell you to do something and you don't, and you're the kind of person who doesn't want to do it, right? And you're the kind of person who's like, this is me and this is my art. And this is so like, I get it, right? Like, don't criticize my, you know, don't tell me how to live my art.
Well, with over 100 drag queens now on Drag Race, they're about to announce the contestants.
I know.
I was
hoping they were announcing it soon, but, you know, we'll see.
Vivacious said, I'll come on the show and talk to about the girls. Hantikins.
We just misunderstood, just shared a blast from the past. She did a video with Laura Branigan and a disco hit, and Vivacious is there dancing.
Nice.
And a 10-year-old Vivacious.
And Head of Lettuce is from 1995.
12-year-old Vivacious.
Proto-Vivacious.
Yeah, they were like barely out of high school. It was crazy. It was like those girls had such an early start in their careers.
Yeah. I mean, that's, if you don't... Like, if you're late to the game at this point, it's hard.
So. Well, and so what did you, how did the experience of interacting with Dax's fans and the experience of her sort of being, because a lot of the queens from the last season, were they required to go to DragCon?
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty much required to be there for
my because they did the filming, right?
Right, and they did the filming and the finale stuff, and it was really interesting. So, yeah, like, to go back to it, I fly for free because my dad has flight benefits through an airline, and so it was really easy.
No friend ride with you too?
Nope, just me.
Don't get excited. Yeah, get your hand off his dick.
You wouldn't be like my number one choice. No offense, I love you, but
the places I could take you, Foxy.
Oh yeah. But so that was easy, and then I just like we stayed in the hotel room together, and we each had our own bed. It was not a big deal, and just like having to get up every morning. And like, these are early times. Like, mm-hmm. you have to be there at like 9 a.m. ready mm-hmm. in face. And so it's like, you're up at 6 mm-hmm. and it's like, get
putting
up.
On, I'm putting drag on I'm at 6 pulling, in the morning.
Yeah, I'm pulling you out of bed. And I'm no stranger to like early drag because I do the Chicago Marathon in drag every year, 4 years now. So that's
do
a 4 a.m.
dress and drag?
Well, and then we host at the Party Mile booth yeah. and stuff. And that's 4 a.m.
Is putting drag on at 6 in the morning any different than putting on any other time of the day?
Yeah, you're not focused. You don't want to be there. Your motivation level is like on the floor.
So you're just sloppier with your makeup.
I think it's sloppier and it's sort of like, but it sucked at that with those convention lighting and the overhead fluorescence.
Now,
stuff.
Do you not go to sleep or you just like pop an Ambien and go to bed at like 7 o'clock?
I mean, so what what I've done in the past when I have to get up at 4 a.m. is you maybe take a nap. The day before and you just kind of deal with it. And maybe you're going to bed at midnight, getting up before and.
Damn.
Pushing through.
That's rough, honey. Yeah. And so in terms of the experience and seeing Dax interacting, because Dax sort of didn't have the best experience, right?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Again, I don't want to like.
Well, you don't want to talk for her, but.
I don't want to speak for her. Yeah, definitely.
Would you describe like the fans and her interaction? It was a challenge.
I think that part was good. Definitely. Yeah. Especially because she's from Savannah and now lives in Atlanta again. And seeing some of her fans be like, thank you for, helping advance these smaller communities and like Black communities and things like that, I think was a really positive experience. For her, I would hope. And then I think where anyone would get mad is when if you don't want to do something and you're very like, this is how I am, this is my personality, and reality TV is telling you not to be that way. I think that can be frustrating for some people. Mm. Definitely.
Would you consider being on that show after observing that experience for Dax?
Yeah, I think I'm the kind of person who when I'm presented with a challenge like that, then it's like, to me, it's not stifling necessarily who I am, but it's me fitting around how I can use myself in these parameters and still be myself in this. And this is where I see some people I work with here in Chicago, where they sort of fail at this a little bit, where it's like a bar tells you, this is what I want from you. And then you're like, well, I don't want to do that. That's not me. And you're like, well, who cares? Like, make it you and like get around it. And I think, like, play the game. That's what, like, to me, maybe this is a terrible, it's kind of a game to me in a fun way. Like, this is all just like fun. And if
it's play.
Right. If it's not
that's
fun,
why they
what
call
are you
them a
doing?
Play because
right.
they're playing.
If it's not fun, what are you doing here then? And I can see how that can be frustrating for people though. But I think personally, I would have fun with that and roll with it. And I think I'm smart enough to know what they would be looking for, hopefully.
Well, part of it is like, and I'm curious to see how now that everybody sort of really understands how this show is made, what's required, how it impacts individuals. Certainly in the next season of Drag Race, how's that going to affect the series? Because a big part of the series is them booking people who can't handle it. And they break down and they know that person's going to break down. And in many ways, they're setting them up to fail. It's a heartbreaking thing to observe because ultimately the point of it is not to launch drag queens' careers. It's to make a TV show people want to watch. Exactly.
I think this happened in season 7 with some girls who I think it really did break them. And it was like, oh.
Who are you talking about specifically?
I don't like to name names.
Well, you said season 7.
Some of the earlier
is that
girls.
The Trixie Mattel season?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a tough season. Like, because it was like Katya and Trixie were such
were the breakout stars.
They were the breakout stars, and World of Wonder
was great too.
And Ginger, and they totally didn't give these three girls who are the breakout stars of the series like the time of day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they really pushed for Violet and for Pearl, who Pearl and Violet are like, take it or leave it.
And the thing is though too is like they're young, and I think that the audience for Logo skews young. The demographic does. Yeah. And so that's where they're like, we need young people because like young people is what the young people identify with, and whereas they don't realize that, hey, daddies are in.
Yeah, but I mean, jokes on them, Trixie was in American Horror Story, so like that was really cool.
As a cadaver.
Well, we've all seen her drag, so why wouldn't she be, right?
No, she was a host. It was great. I was like, what?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting for it to get on Netflix.
Is that why she was hosting it on doing like episode recaps. So she'd be like,
she's on it. Yeah.
She'd be like, and look how fabulous this episode was. I was in it and I didn't get killed.
She survives. So spoiler
alert. Is that like the requirement for, if you get cast on like Law and Order or American Horror Story, you're like, I just don't want to be a dead body.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Or at least I want to have a good long story arc and then die.
You know, Jack McEnroth from Project Runway, he was on Law and Order, and you know what they had him do? They had a ball gag in his mouth, and he was a dead body. And I was like, and I said to that time, I was like, that is the best cameo any person has ever done on any television show ever.
It's like, here I am.
With his mouth agape for a big dick. You know, and it's really like, if anybody's listening to this, if you're going to bury me in an open casket, put a ball gag on my mouth.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. You know, what do you want out of 2017, Foxy?
I want my PhD. That's what I want out of 2017.
Yeah, 2017 piled high and deep.
Yes. You have to write a dissertation or you have to defend something?
Yeah, I have to defend my dissertation.
Have you been writing it?
Yeah, I'm working on it. Yep. So
when do you think you'll be ready?
Ugh, I hate that question. Hopefully fall.
Okay.
Am I in your dissertation?
No. Although people like you are, people who grew up in sort of bilingual homes, Spanish, English.
Really?
Yeah. So,
también se habla español.
Sí, claro que sí. But
so you're studying like how people who scrambled up the languages in their heads unscramble them.
I'm studying how adults deal with the fact that they dealt with two from a very early age.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And how they
it's hell. And it's great, you know, like a lot of those word quizzes on SAT tests. I'm like, what do you mean you don't understand what this means? Everybody knows that word. And then you're like, because it's in Spanish.
The Latin. In Spanish. Yeah,
Latin, the Latin roots of words.
That's why I do pretty good on Scrabble, just because I've studied French and Spanish.
Yeah, I have enough Spanish and Portuguese knowledge to be pretty good in all that stuff. So
I'm going to tell you, if I have to learn Russian, I want
to
be
fucked. Not going to have to learn Russian.
That's Cyrillic, man. Those P's are R's. How fucked is that?
And Toys R Us now makes sense.
And
Toys
H's
oh shit.
Yeah. And what H's, the backwards are?
That's that's I. And H's are N's and
Toys like
some other weird.
And you have like a oomph, like a circle with a stick in it or something.
That's
how does that sound even sound like?
Yeah. Just like Greek, yeah. That's not a speech sound.
In 2017, I want to see more people collaborating and social media and the internet and, you know, these gay communities are great at cultivating like minds, people to support each other, to come together. But I think one thing that makes us healthy as human beings is to reach out and put yourself in an uncomfortable situation. Getting out of your comfort zone and collaborating with people that are not like you.
I completely agree. I feel like sometimes the drag world can get very self-feeding and we just sort of get stuck in this closed loop. So another goal for me for 2017 is to travel more, especially with cosplay. So I'm excited to be doing a con in March. So it's called Bishonen, and it's like this gay in Providence, and it's in its infant years. But I met some people doing cosplay, and they were like, "We love you. We'd love you to come out."
So was that a drag con? Because I met a Providence queen from drag con.
No,
I absolutely adored her. I lost her contact.
This was at Flame Con in New York 2 years ago, which was an LGBT con. So this one is like definitely geared toward like nerdy gay boys who like. Want to be at cons. Yeah. And so I'm really excited to just sort of branch out and see what this is like. And
I heard this, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, that the word con, when you hear like drag con or goddess con or comic con, is a Japanese word. And the con does not stand for conference. It's just a happy coincidence.
No, that's not entirely true. So this is I would call this probably a case of waseigo, which is Japanesified English that is often incorrect. So you get these weird borrowings from English into Japanese that don't quite mean what you think they would mean.
Okay.
So, for example, manshon in Japanese doesn't mean mansion. It's more like dorms or like small apartments.
Okay.
And so what I think is going on here is you get this borrowing from conference. It gets into Japanese. You hear it a lot in Japanese, and then Nerdy Gates.
It comes back.
Pull it back.
Well, what does con mean in the Japanese?
But the origins of the comic con, right. it wasn't to shorten the word conference. They got it from Japan. It was an anglicism in Japan.
No,
that's what I was, because I was researching about
Japanese,
Lolita.
So Japanese really likes to shorten things. So like air conditioning is Eakon, right? Password is Pasukon in Japanese. So they really like to shorten things a lot.
So the word conference is con in Japan?
Right. So I'm assuming that's what's going on there, is that this is wasego happening, right? This like weird misborrowing of English, where a lot of words in Japanese are borrowed from English.
And that's why we abbreviate. We don't call it a comic book conference.
Right. That's what we call it.
Or we call it drag
conference.
We call it drag con.
Yeah. So if you were to say Comic-Con in Japanese, there'd be like Comic-Con. It'd be very short. And because words in Japanese can kind of get long. So... that's what I think is going on, is it's like a back translation.
You learned so many things on Feast of Fun.
Yeah, so that's what, not to get all...
We have smart people.
Not
on.
To get all... Yeah, see, you'll get me on a linguistics rant, and then just as bad as a joke
I
rant.
Love me a cunning linguist. Foxy Kim performs here in Chicago.
Yes.
At...
So this... I mean, I'm going to shameless plug real quick.
It's never shameless, honey.
So,
be proud of who you are and what you do. You make this community a better place.
Thank you. I am in a monthly cosplay show with Geek House, and that's at Berlin, and that's this Friday, the 27th. So the theme is Princess Party.
Party.
Not PNP, which some people wanted to call it. But
did you want
to
call it PNP?
No, I think that was on the idea board and we scrapped it. And I was like, no, I think it should be called Princess Tea Party rather than something else. So
do you wear your tiara?
Yeah, tiara. We can't call it something else for copyright reasons. And I'm like nervous to even say what company I'm talking about. But
Gem and the Holograms?
Starts with a D.
Dick. That's what I was thinking of.
Well, we can't call it, because it's like, you
can't
know,
call what?
Disney.
Disney!
You know how crazy they are about stuff. And
you call it D's Knees.
Right, D's Knees. and so we were like, what should we call the show? Let's call it Princess Tea Party, because that still gets the idea.
So you got the Alice in Wonderland, you got the Belle and...
Belle, Rapunzel, all of that jazz. So
it's funny that Disney's trying to like... own the rights to the concept of a princess.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And it's like always like Disney princesses like as this, Disney princesses as that.
But these are German and French fairy tales. Yeah. Like that's where these all come from.
Of course. So we took one of those quizzes on Facebook on which Disney fuckboy will you end up with?
What'd you get?
And I got Hans from Frozen.
Oh, that's
and
not
Faust
bad.
And Faust was like, oh no, it's not bad. And then Faust was like, oh, I picked the muscle guy. I'm going to get Gaston. And then he ended up getting Peter Pan.
Oh no.
And he was just like, can I take this test over again?
I was like, no.
I don't want to date a lesbian. I mean, I love lesbians, but I don't want, because like Peter Pan is always played by,
lesbians.
A girl.
Or,
You know?
So. Peter Pan is the patron saint of gender nonconforming lesbians. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Peter Pan's usually played by women.
Yeah, for size purposes. Yeah, I get it.
They're like, I'm Peter Pan.
But that makes sense. I get why that happens.
And I'm like, this is bullshit. I want to take that stupid quiz again and get Gaston.
No, that's what you got. It's the internet.
I was like, the questions was like, what do you like to eat? I'm like, I like to eat eggs. You know, like I was answering as if it was for Gaston.
No, you should answer for yourself.
Well, I was just trying to see if, like,
that's what you went like, wrong. Gaston likes this, I'll pick this one. Gaston likes this, I'll pick
this
one.
Was this a BuzzFeed?
And I just kind of, like, randomly did it, and I was just like, oh.
Just because Trump doesn't like BuzzFeed doesn't mean that it's bad.
BuzzFeed and Teen Vogue right now are the, like, warriors of the media.
Well, ironically, BuzzFeed was funded for some time, I don't know if there still are, by the Koch brothers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. That's why BuzzFeed was always doing, like, 12 cool things Ronald Reagan did, you know?
Yeah.
And they were like putting all these, like, alongside all this liberal content, they also had really conservative, unnerving, alt-right content on their site. So the weirdest thing is that now Trump is pitted against BuzzFeed, which I think it's probably because the Koch brothers are feeling like they're being usurped by Donald Trump.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean,
which is really weird. Like this
I think it's great. And then Teen Vogue right now and Condé Nast and all that, like Teen Vogue is just like champion right now of just destroying him. And it's great.
I think Donald Trump might actually be in the long run, something very good for this country. The fact that if we can
maybe
unite
wake people up
and overcome him and what he represents and really put the Republicans out out of this gerrymandering business, because that's the reason why we have a Republican House and Senate, is not because they're getting the majority of the votes. No. It's because they're hacking the system so they can disavow the majority of the will of the people.
Faust, you're sounding like a Bernie or Buster.
You are sounding like a Bernie.
But
bro,
you know, the thing is that you may have supported Hillary in the election. Mm-hmm. We all did.
Yeah.
But right now we are living in Bernie's bust for sure.
Oh yeah.
You know, we are like, this is what the Bernie or Buster people said is going to happen. And so in some ways, you know, regretfully for a lot of people, is you got to listen and we have to figure out what it is they were predicting and how we can move forward. Cause we really need to move forward. We cannot allow the House and the Senate to be controlled by Republicans and have Trump in office. It's just, we'll be fine in a lot of ways, but in other ways is like, we need to make our society better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
fight back,
people. We want to remind the listeners that Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of fantastic people like you. Access 12 years of amazing podcasts on our archives at feastoffun.com/plus. You can listen to in-depth interviews with all your famous drag queens, from Foxy Kim to RuPaul.
Oh, wow.
You're famous. In the bottom of that.
Yeah, I was like famous. Yeah, number 491 out of 500.
Falls at the top. You're in the
bottom. That's fine.
We also have t-shirts that are for sale on our store, feastoffun.com/store. Get your Hunty t-shirt or your Not Shaving Gives Me More Time for Misbehaving.
And of course, if you want to send us something and have us open it live on Facebook, you can do so by sending us a little gift box of exciting, interesting goodies. Promote your business. 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640. If I went too fast, just go to feastoffun.com/contact and get our mailing address through there. Foxy Kim, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.